Good morning, everybody. Oh, I made the video. That's why. Sorry about that. I am Pastor Jeremiah from Camp, a campus pastor of Mosaic House East, the other side. I'm so glad to be with you guys today. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Awesome. Great. I'm great, too. It's beautiful outside, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. It's like, wow. It's awesome. Well, as the video kind of talked about, we are in our last sermon or message of our series of obedient. And today we're going to talk about sharing your faith and being God's feet. And if you could turn your Bibles with me, that'd be great. We're going to look at a man named Paul, and this is in the book of Acts, chapter 28, starting in verse 23. And then we're going to talk about this passage today. Chapter 28, starting in verse 23, they, that is the Jews, arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their eyes, and they have closed their eyes. Sorry, they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see it with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And a quick side note, he's actually in prison right now. And actually, prisoners today, they have to pay rent. When you're in jail, you have to pay rent. And if you can't afford it, welfare pays for you. So Paul is in a house, but likely chained to a Roman soldier. And he is in prison, stuck there, but still welcoming people. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for being here with us and for this great music behind my prayer. That was nice. Thank you for being with us despite technical difficulties, despite us being awkward and not perfect. And Lord, sometimes it's awkward to share Jesus with other people. It's hard. My palms are sweating. My heart's beating. You see somebody we want to share, but it's like, oh, what do we do? It's so hard. So help us today, Lord. We confess to you. We need you. Help us to give us boldness to tell others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in the sermon series, Obedience. And today we are going to talk about share. Be God's feet. Now, Pastor Victor did a great message on dare, which he gave us kind of like a biblical framework on evangelism or telling others about Jesus, and he encouraged us to dare, take that step of faith, get out of our comfort zone. And today, with share, I want to be a little more practical on how you can actually share your faith and then encourage us to be Jesus' feet by taking baby steps, doing little things we could do to tell others about Jesus. Now, this message is more for those who are Christians and who have met Jesus personally. And I want to say first, for those who aren't Christians, we are so glad you're here. We really, really are. And first of all, apologize if we ever shared our faith in a way which is not loving or not respectful. And also apologize for us not sharing our love with you when in times that you need it. And thank you that you're still with us. We praise God for that. And I pray that as we talk about this, that you can maybe teach us how to better reach the people, how to be respectful and kind with our faith. So please come talk to us and converse with us with this topic, all right? Now, for those who are Christians, I want to encourage us to share our faith, to tell others about Jesus. And maybe for some of you, like Paul, you are born to be an evangelist. This is who you are. You just love to tell others about Jesus. It just pours out of you, and you're good at it, and you just can't help it. And Paul, he is amazing. A few chapters before this, he was in Jerusalem, and this is where all his troubles started and how he ended up in jail. He went to Jerusalem, which was the center of the Jewish religion, and when the Jews saw him, they were so angry, they started beating him up, just in the middle of the street, just beating him up, because Paul was telling the world that Jesus was what the Jews called the Messiah, the one they were waiting for to make everything right. And the Jews were angry at Paul because this threatened their religion. Jesus couldn't be a Messiah. They crucified him. And as they were beating him up, the Roman guard comes, and they say, stop the fighting. And Paul, still blood in his mouth, says, wait, can I talk to the people? And the Roman guard's like, okay, sure. And he goes up to the people who are still mad at him, still have probably blood on their knuckles from beating him up, and he tells them about Jesus. Jesus loves you! He tells them a story of Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and his whole life changed. And then Paul gets sent to the governor, puts in prison, gets sent to the governor, and he goes in front of the governor, and what does he do? He tells the governor about Jesus. And then he gets sent to the king, and what does Paul do? He tells them about Jesus. There's a kind of a cool scene where he's in front of the king named Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 28, and Agrippa just looking at this guy crazy, like, this guy is out of his mind. We're going to sentence him maybe even to death, and all he could do is talk about Jesus. And Agrippa says to Paul in verse 28, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul replies, and this kind of sums up who he is, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, may become someone who knows Jesus, except for these chains. Paul was an evangelist. And finally, after this scene, he comes to Rome, and he is in prison. And the first thing he wants to do is tell all the Jews in Rome about Jesus. That's who he was. He was born to evangelize. My dad is also someone who was born to evangelize. This is my dad. He's kind of a character, as you might see. His hat is TGIF, thank God I'm fresh. And that's why he starts conversations. And he does wear it in public. And he just always wants to tell people about Jesus. My dad's from Yugoslavia. He's half Croatian, half Hungarian. And we grew up on acreage. My dad tried to raise an alpaca farm. It didn't really work out. And we went to a church in Kinsella. And how we got to that church was two of the people from the church, named Gerard and Dolly, they're like our grandparents now, they were going around farms selling Amway. And they ended up on our farm. They went to the wrong farm, actually, knocked on the door, and my dad opened the door, and he said, is this the Ronscoe farm? And my dad's like, no. Do you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, his Lord and personal Savior? And they were like, yes, we do. Well, come on and eat. I got some food for you. And that's how we ended up at the church. We met them that way. One time my dad was driving. He came to Canada and went to London, Ontario, and would drive back and forth between Alberta and London. And one time he picked up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker came in, and they were driving along. And the guy pulled a knife on my dad. And my dad looked at him and said, do you believe Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord, personal Savior? And the guy's like, what? And he became a Christian. He put the knife away, and the life was turned around. And maybe some of you guys are like that. It just pours out. That's who you are. But for some of us, maybe most of us, we are not like that. Especially in my teen years, I was very afraid to share my faith. I was really insecure, and you know, as teenagers go, I just want everybody to like me. I just want it to be cool. And I would do all that I can to make sure I didn't make people feel uncomfortable. And I hated going to appointments with my dad. Whether a soccer game, doctor's appointment, because he was always looking for people to meet and tell about Jesus. One time, I got hurt. I had to go to the emergency room. And I was like, Mom, can you take me, please? Mom, please. I'm like, no, I can't. Your dad's going to take you. No. Every time we went to an appointment, doesn't matter where we ended up sitting down, he would sit down with a big smile and look around the room, waiting for someone to make eye contact with him. And once they did, he'd be like, hi, I'm Damir. How are you? And 5 minutes in, how's the weather? It's good. Oh, by the way, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior? And I would be screaming inside, no, no, what are you doing? This is, my friends are there. Don't do this. And it was just so embarrassing. And maybe, like you find it hard to share your faith. And if you see somebody doing it, you feel uncomfortable. You feel, oh. And as a Christian, I was really troubled that I was scared to share my faith. It was like I was ashamed to tell others about Jesus. And maybe you today, you fear being rejected, afraid of others, what they might think of you if they found out you were a Jesus freak. And in a recent survey at Mosaic House, we were asked, what are the things which make it hard for you to share your faith? Some of you said you were too busy, but it actually wasn't that high. I thought it'd be much higher. But over 70% said you didn't know how. Wow. Some of you were afraid of being rejected or being too pushy. Some of you said your relationships weren't ready yet. You didn't feel comfortable sharing that part of who you are. Some of you worried about the right timing, and some of you were just uncomfortable about even thinking about it. I just don't want things to get awkward after maybe I say something. Now today I want to kind of encourage everybody and kind of address some of these concerns and hopefully push us to take little baby steps. And here's what I want to do today. I want to look at 3 steps in being Jesus' feet. We be Jesus' feet by dancing with Jesus, by letting Jesus lead, and 3, by taking baby steps. And here's what I want you to know today. We share Jesus' salvation by following Jesus' feet. We take everyday opportunities to share Jesus by being His feet, by doing what He did. Now, first one, we be Jesus' feet by dancing with Jesus. Anybody like to dance here? Okay, right on, right on. Wow, great. Now, here's what I mean by dancing with Jesus. Following Jesus is not like following the footsteps of someone in the snow. Like when you're a kid and your dad was in the snow and you kind of jump in his footsteps. It's not like Jesus does this, so you do that. It's not like a one-off thing. It's more of a dance with Jesus. We should not share Jesus with others because the Bible says so, and we have to. It does say so, but we don't do it just because we have to. We're not obedient to God just because we are told to, but we obey God because we have met Jesus. And He has changed everything. He has put a spring into our step. And we are completely changed because of who Jesus is. Paul always starts his messages, usually, with how he met Jesus. As some of you know, he was a man, a part of the Jewish religion, who is so against Christianity, he was sent out to actually kill Christians and to stop the movement. And as he was walking down the road, Jesus met him. Like Jesus met him in a bright light. And instead of Jesus condemning Paul for what he was doing, Jesus gave him a second chance, turned his life around, and gave him a new mission to tell others about him. And Paul was transformed by Jesus. And now he can't help but tell others about him. And when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, it's not like he tells you what to do and you do it. Rather, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will obey me. We are not in a slave-master relationship. We are in a love relationship. more of a dance than marching orders. And when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, your very being changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is Paul talking, one of my favorite verses. He says, if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. If you were selfish and proud before, in Christ you are now selfless and humble. If you were mean and angry before, in Christ you are now kind and self-controlled. If you were timid and insecure before, in Christ you are now confident and have a sure and secure identity. He has made you a child of God, and you are new. You are made new. And for some of us, like Paul and my dad, who was an alcoholic, when you meet Christ, there's an immediate change. But like me, it's more of a gradual process. I am becoming new. But whatever the result, the reality is that you are a new person. And in that newness of life, you are reborn to tell others about Jesus. Not because you have to, but because that is who you are. We do not share just to be obedient, but just to be. Because that's who we are. And when you've experienced the love and care of Jesus, when you have danced with him and he has changed your life, you simply just want to tell others about him, about his love and grace and power in your life. And you don't have to try to be Jesus' feet. You are his feet. So let's live like it. Let's do it in everything, in our words, in our deeds. Because if we don't, we are hindering our relationship with Jesus. We are resisting him, and we are denying our true selves. Let me give you kind of an analogy. Anybody here like shoe shopping? Okay, there's a few, okay. I have too many shoes in my life. I don't know why. If I see a great deal, especially at like a thrift store, I'm like, wow. Anyway, but you know when you're going shoe shopping and you oh, that shoe looks so good. And you put it on and it feels so right. Like, oh, this is a perfect shoe. And you just put it like, wow. And you just want to dance and you're like, wow, this is awesome. And you just feel so good. Like, this is perfect. When you know Jesus, And you tell others about him, you feel like that. This is who I am. This is perfect. This shoe is awesome. I tell everybody about it. Look at this shoe. Not this one. Yeah. $12 at Valley Village. Yeah, it's okay. And when you share your faith, you realize that's who I am. And you just want to. But if you don't share your faith, it's like you're wearing shoes which are too small or too big. You feel like you walk around, there's something wrong, like something just not quite right here. And when you don't share your faith, there's something not quite right in your relationship with God. And also, if you wear shoes too small, too big, it affects you physically. It's bad for your back. You know, you're not walking straight. It's not good for you. And the same way, when you don't share your faith, it'll affect you spiritually. It'll make your spiritual walk dry. And if you don't share Jesus with people, you're saying that you are ashamed of Jesus. Now, my wife Sarah and I, if you know her, we don't like dancing in public because she is quite a bit taller than me. And with these gender conventions, it's not right with a short person like leading this beautiful, tall, elegant woman. And we're just embarrassed. We don't want, like, I like to dance, but you can't wear high heels, honey, and we can't dance in public. That was the only thing while getting married. That was the only deal. And we know. In heaven, maybe we will, because people won't care. But we're just embarrassed. We're ashamed. And if you don't share your faith in public, you are like that. You are embarrassed and ashamed of Jesus. And Luke 9:26 says, and this always has hurt my heart a lot. This is Jesus talking in Luke 9:26. He says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, this is Jesus talking, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father of the holy angels. Ooh. When you don't share your faith, you are saying that you don't really love Jesus for who he is. You actually think that you are in charge of the relationship, not Jesus. He is the one serving your needs, not you serving him. God, Jesus, to you is like more of a pet than a Lord. He serves you rather than you serving him. And this leads me to my second point, which is we be Jesus' feet by letting Jesus lead. He is the one who leads. We share Jesus' salvation by following Jesus' feet. Not leading, by following. And we have to let Jesus lead in all of our conversations. When I was in high school, I was really struggling with being ashamed of my faith. And I really wanted to tell us about Jesus, but it was so hard. Then I got a chance to go to an educational trip when I was in grade 12 to Italy. And I thought, yes, this is it. I'm going to go to another country with all my classmates, and I will be forced to share my faith. I will just do it. So I did. And it was bad. I would try to force it, like, in every situation. Like, we were eating some pizza, and like, oh, Jeremiah, isn't this, like, authentic Italian pizza? And I was like, yeah. Don't you know that it's only good because Jesus made it? And it was just terrible. One of my friends, his only goal on the trip was to lose his virginity. And I remember every day yelling at him, come on, man, what are you doing with yourself? Jesus loves you. You don't need it. You don't need that. Come on. And I remember yelling at him every day to stop. And I stole his condoms one time, but I felt really bad, so I gave him back. It was just terrible. It was actually really bad. And I had passion, but I didn't let Jesus lead. We have to let Jesus lead. And we have to know that Jesus loves the people and loves us and the people we're trying to reach more than we ever could. And he is already working with them. He's already moving in their lives. One person once said, which is going to help me, evangelism is joining a conversation the Holy Spirit is having with someone. Evangelism is God's conversation, not our conversation. Now, for those who maybe aren't familiar with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus died and rose again to life, he left us physically. He left and went back to heaven, but he sent us the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' work here. It's a power, it's a person that lives inside of us to continue God's work. And it's his conversation. He's already working with people. And in Italy, I thought that it was up to me to start the conversation with somebody for them to be saved. But in the end, it wasn't effective because I did not let Jesus and the Holy Spirit lead. I did not show care when I shared. And in this passage that Paul is talking, he brings up the passage Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit was already having conversation with the Jewish people. And in verse 26, 27, there's kind of this weird, cryptic message. And I can't get into all of it right now. But the one thing I want you to recognize from this passage in Isaiah is that conversion or coming to Jesus is a great mystery. Part of the mystery involves someone's willing resistance or acceptance to the good news of Jesus, also known as free will. And the other part of the mystery includes the Holy Spirit's work in someone's mind and heart. That's called God's sovereignty. We will never fully understand this. Only God knows it. That's why we should let God lead and not us. If we don't even know how the thing works, how can we think that we can lead it? Our job is not to change someone's heart and mind. Only God can do that. Our job is just to point to Jesus. Tell our five-minute spiel in the conversation the Holy Spirit's already having with somebody, and God will do the rest. We share Jesus' salvation by following Jesus' feet. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul kind of has another image for that. He says, I planted a seed, talking about ministry and planting a church, and Apollos, another person in the Lord, watered it. But God has been making it grow. So, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. We just plant a little seed. God makes it grow. He leads. We just do our small part. So what is our small part? And that brings us to the last one. We be Jesus' feet by taking baby steps. Just little baby steps. And the baby steps is kind of what we've been talking about all series. Prayer, care, dare, and share. Let me just kind of give you a few examples in each one. Now, we've talked a lot about prayer already, but prayer helps us give up control and let God lead. It tells you, Lord, you are Lord. I'm second. I'm in the back seat. And it gives us more sensitivity to the working of the Holy Spirit in our own lives or the people around us. Prayer is this two-way conversation. Us talking to God and God talking to us. And the more we pray, the more we grow in relationship with God, and the more we can listen to Him when opportunities come to share. Also, and Pastor Victor talked about this last week, pray for the people that you want to share your faith with. And I found the more I pray for people that I want to share the good news with, the more I care about them, the more I want to serve them and hang out with them. And also, in a weird way, my conversations get less awkward because I know them better, because I genuinely care about them. And also, I become more aware of opportunities where I can share or care for them. And also, timing improves for some reason because God is leading. It's not about me coming in at the right time, but God is setting things up for me. And also, you build more confidence knowing the Holy Spirit is already at work. And I encourage you guys again to write a list of people that maybe you want to share the good news with and pray for them at least once a week about their health, about their finances, about their job. Pray for them and pray for opportunities to share your faith with them. Also, prayer is a great conversation starter. We live in a secular world, and academics and smart people thought that as secularism grew, also spirituality would decrease. But we are seeing the opposite. I was on a church planting conference in Vancouver, and there was a church planner from Quebec. And Quebec is the most secular province in Canada, has the least number of churches and the least number of people who call themselves religious or Christian. But at the same time, the pastor argued that although religion was decreasing, spirituality was increasing. He said one time there was a girl who came to his church and started checking things out and started being part of the community. And then one day she calls him up and says, "Oh, hey, pastor, you know, I'm having a party this weekend. And I was just wondering, do you know a palm reader by chance?" And the pastor's like, "No, sorry, I don't." And he said, "Oh, well, do you think that's, you know, the best idea?" And she's like, "Maybe. My friend really wants one, though. So, oh, okay, if you know anybody, give me a call, right?" Even though religion is decreasing, spirituality is increasing. People aren't really asking anymore, does God exist? But rather, which spirituality will fill me? And they might not be open to religion, but most people are open to spirituality, like prayer. And prayer is actually a great way to plant a seed, to be part of the Holy Spirit's conversation, and to let people know that you care. One of my friends in the inner city passed away a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it's terrible. And I was talking to a coworker last week, and she's not a Christian at all, but I just wanted to hang out and talk. And at the end of the conversation, I said, "Well, you know, I'll keep you in my prayers, all right?" And she said, "Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that." Just something small like that. I shared a couple months ago that when Sarah and I go out for dinner, we try our best to ask the waiter or waitress something like this. You know, we usually pray before we have a meal. Would you like anything that we could pray for you? And most times it actually works out really, really well. The first time we did it, we actually got free dessert from it. They were so touched by, "Wow, that's really awesome. Thank you so much. That's great." We did it a couple weeks ago, and we asked this guy, you know, "Hey, man," and it's hard. It's not always easy. Sarah and I, we debate, should we do it, should we not do it? We do rock, paper, scissors sometimes. You do it this time, I'll do this time. It's not always easy, but we did it again, and the guy's like, "Oh, wow, thank you. I'm actually an actor, and I have an audition in Calgary next week." So I'm like, "Oh, that's great. We'll pray for you." So before the meal, we prayed, and we prayed for him. And, you know, one day when he's famous and starring with Denzel Washington, he might remember that time that couple prayed for me in that restaurant back in the day. Maybe, who knows? But it's just a little seed that you plant. And what's funny is, whenever we do that, if nothing happens out of it, it becomes a better date. Because the people, they know you care. And it's just kind of, it makes the things more fun and more interesting. So just little things like that, try it. See where God leads. Second one is care. Now for those who have a passion and gift for evangelism, sometimes God has to pull on the reins and remind us to care. One time, my dad went to a funeral. One time, my dad went to a funeral. Do you want me to finish the story? No, let's not finish the story. He's like, oh, there's a dead person. I should talk about hell. No, let's not talk about that. Sometimes when you have a we have to make sure that care is a part of it. Again, we don't just share just to be obedient. We share just to be. We share because God created us to genuinely care for people. And part of that caring means telling others about Jesus. And like Pastor Ann said a couple weeks ago, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I encourage you guys to see the act of caring as a one piece of evangelism. One part in the Holy Spirit's conversation with somebody. One quick example is at Mosaic House East, we help with a Christmas brunch. We're in the neighborhood over there. We come together and we hang out with people and just serve and love them. And there I met a person who was homeless named Dumpster Dave. And we just started hanging out, having a good time, and eventually came to a couple movie nights. And I always see him around the library. Now I'm just hanging out with him and just learning from him and chilling. And we'll see where the Holy Spirit leads, but just little seeds like that. So I encourage you guys, get to know your neighbors. Host block parties. As a house church, go and serve people and see it as a part of the Holy Spirit's conversation with somebody. My wife is really great at caring for people. She met somebody at nursing school, and through a tough time, her friend dropped out, but now she lives in our neighborhood, and we're just hanging out with them, and just she's just caring for them, and they're not Christians, but they appreciate our care, and my wife actually invited them to church during Christmas time, and they had a great time, and she is now engaged to somebody, and they've asked us to do their premarital counseling, so we'll see where God leads that, and the guy said, you know, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I don't think I'm a Christian. But you, Sarah and you seem to be living the way that Jesus wants us to live. So thanks for showing us that. And you'll never know where that leads. So care. Finally, dare. For those of us who have a passion for evangelism, God might pull the reins. But for those of us who are uncomfortable about sharing our faith, Jesus has to push us, to nudge us, to dare us to step out. It's not about how much you know or how extroverted you are. My dad has very broken English and has no concept of acceptable social norms. But God still uses him. Paul was thought to be a not very good preacher. He wasn't a good public speaker. And some people argue, actually, that he was actually physically an ugly person. He just wasn't good looking. But still, God used him. It's not about us. It's about Christ living inside of us and the Holy Spirit working in us. So join the dance. Join the conversation. Your mission field is all around you. My dad's favorite mission field is Superstore in Camrose. He just walks around and talks to people randomly. And he brings to Jesus about 10 to 30 people a year because of it. You know, it's everywhere. So take baby steps, prayer, care, share, and dare. And one practical thing I encourage you guys to do is invite one person to the next sermon series. The series is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And like I mentioned earlier, people might not be open to religion, but they're very open to spirituality. So I encourage you to pray for one person you can invite to the sermon series. Ask God to give you opportunities to share and care for them and take that little baby step and send that text or that Facebook message or the email or give them a little pamphlet. And despite our fear, one study shows that 65% of people see a personal invitation from a friend or a neighbor as an effective way to get them to visit church. 65%. That's not people who are just open to it. They actually might come because of it. So I dare you. I double dog dare you. Now, if you are not a Christian, I also encourage you and I dare you to continue being part of this community. Even if you don't accept Jesus, we will still love you. We still care about you. And maybe you can teach us how to do better in reaching our neighbors and our friends. We share Jesus' salvation by following Jesus' feet. So we be Jesus' feet by dancing with Jesus, by letting Jesus lead, and by taking baby steps. But maybe you're still thinking, how do I do it? Like, this is so hard. How do I do it? What are the steps? Well, let me ask you as a question. How do you make a friend? Do you go out on the street and say, hey, everybody, I need a friend. Anybody want to be a friend? Or do you go on Facebook and like, oh, that person looks really cool, and you send their friend request? Do you guys do that? Okay. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you. But usually when you make a friend, you just meet somebody, and things just happen. So how do you tell others about Jesus? You meet somebody, and things just happen. You just go like this. You go walking down the street one day, and you're going and walking. Hey, oh, how's it going? Hey, how's it going, man? I'm Jeremiah. How are you?
Colin, I'm good.
Colin, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get the, you know, it's getting a little, yeah, a little bit.
One love, all love.
One love. There we go. So what, tell me about yourself.
Yeah, just hanging out. You know.
Just hanging out? Yeah. I love the beard. The braids look amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I can't do it on the head.
So. Oh, you can't, yeah. We'll trade one day, yeah. Awesome. Nice to meet you, Colin. Have a great day. Yeah, you too. And you go home, you go do your devotions. Like, oh, this Colin guy, maybe he'll pray for me. Oh, pray. Hope he has a good life, you know, hope he's doing all right. Then you're walking down the street again. Hey, Colin, right?
Jeremiah.
Yeah, you too, yeah. The name tags help. That's awesome, yeah. Great to see you. What's new?
Yeah, not much, you know. Just working.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Works good. This I just moved to a new place. You know, it's nice. It's just getting used to it and stuff like that. Pleasant View. Yeah, yeah. What's that?
Oh, I'm just working on the wall of my house.
Oh, there's a wall. What's going on there? Wow, like a bio wall.
Yeah, you got it.
And he's building us a fish tank.
A fish tank. That's so awesome. Whoa. Love to maybe guys have you over sometime. That'd be great. Okay. Yeah. And I'm serious about it too. Yeah. We'll have you guys over sometime. Yeah. I see you call it. Yeah. Awesome. That was so hard, was it?
Yes, it was.
It was. It's not about how good you are. It just, you meet people and things just happen. The Holy Spirit's already working in them. And all we gotta do is take little baby steps and see where God leads. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you that you are so good to us. Thank you that you are so faithful. Thank you for sharing your whole life, your whole being, sharing your son for us, who died for us. Help us now to share you with others. By our care, by our love, by telling others about you. Give us courage, Lord. Give us opportunities. Help us just to genuinely care for people, to walk alongside them, to not be ashamed of you. We need you, Lord. We can't do this without you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you, to love you more and more, so that it would just pour out of us. Keep changing us, Lord, to become more like you. We trust you, Lord. We thank you. And give us the courage to do what we must this week, to step out and to share with those we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.